You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on William Hill Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Dave Kellner, Ollie Pimlott and Rory Delaghi in the studio. It's Brighton, Newcastle and Newmarket on Friday afternoon. Stratford, Catterick and Haydock will provide the action in the evening. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me is William Hill Radio's Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
I'm very well, mate, very well.
Good man.
It's a shame I can't be there today.
Yes, unfortunately not, but the powers of technology mean you're here anyway.
Perfect.
Good. Right, what we're going to do is we're going to start with a look at the Epsom Classics, because they're just over a week away. Kind of been a familiar theme this week after Breakfast with the Stars. And then we're going to move on to Friday's action as well. Andy's got four races for us. So we'll start with the Oaks, Andy. Legatissimo at the top of the market, now 3-1. 4-1 for Crystal's Vader, 6s for Found, 8s for Diamonds and Rubies, 9-1 for Jack Naylor, 10-1 for Together Forever, 11s for Star of Seville. Jazzy Top is 14s with Lady of Dubai, and it's 16-1 or bigger prices for the others. So Legatissimo at the top of the market, Andy, has been pretty solid for a long time now, since winning the 1,000 guineas.
Yeah, I mean, she was hugely impressive, wasn't she, in the 1,000 guineas. She'd done a good number at Garen only a week before, and she backed up that with a scintillating performance to beat a stellar field in the 1,000 guineas. I think the fillies are really good this year, and there's no reason to suggest otherwise. The time was good, and the way she stayed on in the latter stages, you'd imagine that an extra bit of distance for her 4 furlongs would be ideal. So I think she's a worthy favourite. Most guineas winners, an impressive guineas winners, the ones that stay on as strongly in the latter part of the race as she did, are usually the ones to be with. She's a Group 1 winner, and at the moment I think that her price is about right.
Yeah, so her price is about right. The one that had been backed as well as her was Crystal Zvezda, or Zvezda, whichever one you want to say. Very impressive in a listed race last time. Could you see her hitting the frame or something?
Yeah, I wouldn't be as strong on her as I would be Legatissimo. She's still got it to prove. She may well be equal to the task. But just going on a performance at Newbury, she quickened up really well in the latter part of that race to beat an average field. I don't think it was a stellar listed race, but it was just the manner that which she did it. Her time was okay. It was a sectional time towards the back end, which is the highlighted bit about that performance. And, she's by a sire that suggests the stamina should be fine as well. So she's clearly a major player. I do think the other contender that we should consider is just Jack Naylor, who went through the ranks last season for Jessica Harrington, ended up finishing third in the pre-Marcel Boussac behind Found. But all her performances last year suggested to me that stamina was a key suit. Don't forget she beat Legatissimo as well last year at the Curragh, fair and square in the listed race, the Flame of Tara. I mean, it was a good race, that Together Forever was third. The form worked out really well. She was very strong in the latter stage, but she was also a massive eye-catcher in the Irish 1,000 guineas on her reappearance. When she was doing all her best work at the death, I think it was a stellar field this year. Policecock was a worthy winner. Found, Devonshire, Boca Bacchiata, Malabar, Stormfly, Jolliere, Rayadara were all well beaten behind. And I think that's, other than Legatissimo's 1,000 guineas, I think that's the best bit of form coming into the Oaks. And if she does run, and the indications that she are, that she will, I think double-figure quotes for her are huge.
OK, so those would be the two then, Legatissimo and Jack Naylor?
They're the two. I think she's a worthy favourite, but I do think Jack Naylor's a massive player.
OK, moving on to the Epsom Derby then. Golden Horn, 7-4. At the top of the market, 9-2 for Zorak. Elm Park is 13-2 with Jack Hobbs. Found is 12-1 with Hans Holbein. 16s for Giovanni Canaletto. Kilimanjaro is 20-1, and it's 25s or bigger for the others. Golden Horn obviously won the Dante last time, got the better of Elm Park and Jack Hobbs in that race as well. Do you see Golden Horn as the one to beat, Andy?
Yeah, probably, yeah. I mean, I think he's a bit short for my liking now. I mean, I've watched the Dante back and forth so many times because I had a vested interest in the performance of Jack Hobbs. And although I was slightly disappointed that he got beat, my overriding impression of the Dante was that Golden Horn very much had the run of the race that day. It was run at a good, solid, even gallop throughout. It certainly sorted the wheat out from the chaff. But Golden Horn just settled better. He's, if you like, his streetwise credentials going into that race stood him in good stead because he'd come off the back of a strongly run competitive race at Newmarket the time before. Whereas Jack Hobbs, obviously a wide margin win of a Sandown handicap, really didn't know what it was all about. He got stuck out on the wing. He got no cover in the early part of the race. He raced a bit freely. And in the end, the distance between them, 2 3/4 lengths, was all down to the one horse settling, switching off and getting the run of it with plenty of cover, and the other horse giving away yardage and expending a lot of energy. Obviously, it's a different race, different day, different distance, different track. A whole lot of different circumstances that apply now between Golden Horn and Jack Hobbs. I'm certainly not giving up on Jack Hobbs, even though Golden Horn beat him fair and square on the day. But like I say, I think there were mitigating circumstances. And there's every chance that Jack Hobbs might just now have come of age, being as he's had that hard-knocking race. I certainly think he's still the value if Connections decide to run. There's a good chance that he will. The fact that Godolphin have bought him, they want a runner in the race. The fact that John Gosden took him to the Breakfast with the Stars as well to give him a spin around the track, he's obviously quite keen to run him as well. And why not? You know, it doesn't look a particularly strong race other than, you know, the main front two in the market, Zorak and Elm Park. Ballydore for once haven't got a particularly strong hand, and there's a lot of 50-1 rags that are out for a sell should day out. So if you gave me a bet now, even though I have backed him at bigger odds, I still think Jack Hobbs remains a value bet around about the 7-1 mark.
Okay, being the Irish guru, I just wanted to get your thoughts on Zorak a little bit more. 92 second in the betting now. His form obviously boosted in the Irish 2000 Guineas last Sunday, but he is yet to race beyond a mile and also hasn't run in Group 1 company before. Is 92 skinny enough about him?
Well, there's several negatives about Zorak. So far, you know, a mile's the furthest he's been. He beat for me a non-stayer on the ground at Leopardstown in the 2000 Guineas trial. I've been banging on for a long, long time about Edna's drama. Why Connections keep persisting with him over a mile, God only knows. He's got no chance in the St. James's Palace Stakes. But he's definitely a Jersey horse. 7 furlongs is as far as he wants to run. So we've got, you know, mixed messages from that particular trial. We're also in the dark whether he'll, on breeding, stay the trip. There are doubts, certainly emulating from the Dermot World Camp, that a mile and a half is going to be his thing. I think they're almost forced to run him because the race has disintegrated. Obviously, the Irish 2000 Guineas, they missed that particular gig, and there aren't that probably many races in the calendar Zorak can run in, and this is one of them, and it's a Group 1 level. You might as well try and find out in the best race there is to run, and it's a bit of a roll of the dice situation with him. But yeah, I'd sooner back other horses in the race other than him at the price.
Okay, and you're with Jack Hobbs then still?
I am. I've got no reason to desert him now. And I certainly think the two floaters from Ballydore would be also worth a look as well, Hans Holborn and Kilimanjaro. At least we know both of those two stay.
Okay. A few to consider there. Then we'll leave that there, though, and move on to Friday's action. Andy's got four races for us, and we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we're going to look at some of the action at Newmarket and one race from Haydock as well. Starting in the 3:35 at Newmarket, which is a Class 3 handicap over 7 furlongs. It's for four-year-olds and older. A field of 9 to go to post here. Andy, who'd you like in there?
Well, I'd probably have to stick with the course and distance performance of Firm Decisions. Not only was he very impressive visually, winning by 7 lengths, but the clock also backed up that performance as well. It was the fastest, one of the fastest furlong per furlong times on the day, and that's pretty good for a horse rated 80. He's obviously been dished out a bit of a spanking by the handicapper, giving him £11 more, but that might not be enough to stop him. He's going to have a similar set of circumstances, i.e. fast ground and a relatively small field, and he certainly wasn't winning out of turn that day as well when he won on the 16th of May, because he's been very unlucky on many occasions on the all-weather throughout the winter. Because of the nature of Lingfield, it often was a track that didn't play into his strengths. He's a big, long striding horse, and Newmarket clearly benefits him. Ascot, the time before, he probably found 6 furlongs a little bit on the quick side, but he still ran well there. So he's coming in here in great form. There's no rain forecast, so it should be ideal for him. And I expect him to go in again.
Okay. On to the second race we'll look at, the 410 at Newmarket, which is a Class 3 handicap over a mile and a quarter. This one's for the three-year-olds, only 6 of them in the lineup here, Andy. Which one would you side with?
Well, I do like the handicap form of King Bullet at Newbury on the 15th of May. Look, come on, his charge was quite impressive in the end, beating a decent field of handicappers. And the market was dominated that day by the third horse, Peter Off, and Yates Magic. Both of them were vying for favouritism towards the off. Both were well touted, coming from the powerful stables of Gosden and Sir Michael Stout. And it was Sir Michael Stout's horse that came out best of that duo, even though he got beat 5 lengths by the winner. Still thought he raced with a great, he performed with a great deal of credit, making good headway from the 3 furlong pole to be and have every chance at the distance, only just to keep on at the same pace in the latter stages. But I like a lot of Sir Michael Stout's. They tend to just need their first outing, and with their normal improvement, that run under his belt 14 days ago should bring him on. And like I say, speed figure wise, form wise, I think that was the best race coming into this contest.
Okay, who are you most worried about in there?
Well, you'd have to be concerned about John Riss, who was impressive at Windsor. His time wasn't overly impressive, but you have to be enlightened by the fact that he was very impressive, and the manner of his victory was good. And also Suffused as well. I'm expecting him to come on quite a bit. Her to come on quite a bit from that run behind Salento at Ascot the other day. A lot of Roger Charlton's horses which needed the run as well. So those two are certainly two to consider. But as I said, speed figure-wise and overall performance, well, I think Peter Hoff was the best first time up this year.
Peter Hoff for Andy then in the 410. The 4:45 at Newmarket is a Class 4 handicap over a mile and three quarters. It's for four-year-olds and older. Field of 9 here. And there's several of these that would have a chance if they're fit on reappearance, Andy. It's one of those kind of races.
Yeah, definitely. And with that in mind, I'm probably going to go for Air Squadron. Comes from a form in spectacularly good form. Rafe Beckett's had a really good start to the season, and that run is continuing. And I like the way this horse got the job done first time out at Chepstow, which is a little bit of a specialist track, so he did well to handle the undulations of that course. I think he's going to be much better on a flatter track and better ground today. And he beat a horse called Shades of Silver at the Welsh venue, which has enhanced the form in the best possible manner by winning well. Funnily enough, when I was on holiday at Nottingham the other day, but he won by about 8 lengths, bounding clear in the latter stages, having watched the video back. So it was probably a better performance by Air Squadron on the day itself than we actually realised. Obviously, the handicap has intervened, but he has only put him up £5, and that looks fairly lenient in the light of what the second horse has done. So I still think this five-year-old's got more to come. He's a very consistent type. He stays really well, and his form is second to none. So Air Squadron gets a vote in the 4:45.
The final race we'll look at is the 7:15 at Haydock. This is a Class 3 handicap over a mile. It's for four-year-olds and older. We've got 12 of them in the lineup here, Andy, and a nice each-way shape to the race.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of horses that come in good form, such as Manchester Star, Al Thurusa won well in Beverley the other day, and also No Poppy, who runs this track particularly well. She's coming to hand quite nicely based on her first two runs. But the one that interests me is this horse called Si Senor. He hasn't had a run this season. Ed Vaughan's obviously had one or two maybe issues with him. He hasn't run since last September. But when he signed up for last season, he was a very eye-catching fourth in a race here at this track behind No Poppy when he got no run whatsoever. He didn't see any daylight. And he definitely got marked up as an unlucky loser. I was actually waiting for him to come out towards the back end of the season. But one or two issues prevented him from doing so. But prior to that, he'd been on the roll. All his best form's been on the all-weather at Kempton, where he won 3 races back-to-back. But that performance last time at Haydock certainly indicated that the turf shouldn't be any issues. Providing he's fit enough to do himself justice off that layoff, I still think a mark of 88 is very much workable for Ed Vaughan's charge, and he's definitely the most interesting runner in that race for me.
OK, let's, as always, have a quick summary, Andy, if you'll spin us through your selections for Friday one more time.
OK, yeah, we'll start off with that 7:15 at Haydock. Certainly keep an eye on Si Senor and how he progresses throughout the remainder of the season. Over at Newmarket, my 3 selections there are in the 3:35 Furban Decisions to follow up his course and distance performance there 13 days ago. And the 4:10, Peter Hoff was a good third on his debut this season in a hot race at Newbury. And the 4:45, I'll stick with Air Squadron, who beat Shades of Silver who advertised the form at Nottingham the other day. That definitely looks top-class form in my eyes.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, Andy. Good luck and enjoy it on Friday.
Cheers, bud.
So there you go, the thoughts of Andy Holding on Friday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Dave Kellner, Ollie Pimlott and Rory Delaghi in the studio. It's Brighton, Newcastle and Newmarket on Friday afternoon. Stratford, Catterick and Haydock will provide the action in the evening. Plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.